We pray, Heavenly Father, for understanding of the Scriptures. We know, Lord, that we could accumulate all the books in the world and study everything in them and still not understand the Holy Scriptures. We do believe that it's by the work of the Holy Spirit as He explains the Word of God to us. And we're praying for that enlightenment tonight, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper, and that we may be in tune with You and fellowship with You and fellowship one with another. We ask in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to just leave your place there. I probably could have saved asking you to turn there, but I want you to go with me in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 17. And I'm going to read to you some verses, and I want you to see if you can discern the common thread in all of these verses we're going to look at. There's some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, and see if you can perceive the common thread that holds all of these together. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, "Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of men, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it." And then go with me, please, to 2 Samuel. See if you can retain in your memories the thrust of each of these verses. 2 Samuel chapter 14. And verse number 14, 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse number 14, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth He devise means that His banished be not expelled from Him." 2 Chronicles is our next reference, chapter 19 and verse 7. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse number 7. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 7. "Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." And then go with me to the Psalms. Psalm 24. I have the wrong reference here, so let me just make sure I don't have one chapter wrong. Nope. We will leave that reference. I've written down a wrong reference. Go to Psalm 28. And the 28th Psalm. And I have another wrong reference. There is someone at my house that's dyslexic, and I don't think it's the computer. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11. This one is very simple, isn't it? "For there is no respect of persons with God." And then look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. And verse number 9. Ephesians 6. And verse number 9, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." And while we're here in Ephesians, let me see if we have a reference. No, we have no other reference to look at in Ephesians. Go with me to Colossians, two books further on in our Bibles, to chapter 3 and verse 25, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 25, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." While we're here in Colossians, turn back to verse number 11 in chapter 3. I have to turn the page in my Bible. This verse does not contain the phrase, but it says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And then 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, you've already discerned what we're looking at, haven't you? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And then one more. Please look with me in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. So what is the theme that holds all those verses together? Did anybody pick it out? Could you discern it? What was it? No respect of persons. No respect of persons. Andrew Jackson was president in the United States just after, not long after, the Civil War, and walked into a church near Washington, D.C., and sat down. And one of the deacons whispered to the pastor and said, Psst, President Jackson just walked in. Be careful what you say. And the pastor said, If President Jackson doesn't repent of his sins and trust in the Lord Jesus, he will go to hell like everybody else. Amen. You know what that's called? That's having no respect of persons. Very simply. No respect of persons. We think about playing favorites, don't we? You see this oftentimes where someone will have an advantage over someone else and they're treated with respect of persons. I want you to look with me at an example of this that the Lord speaks to us about in James chapter 2, and that's where we started. In James chapter 2, come here with me, and let us read. Our text is all the first 13 verses. We'll read those, we'll consider a few of the truths that are here, and then take these before the Lord in preparation for the Lord's table. James chapter 2, verse 1, My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here at a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Here's an example given to us that the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 1, when you read that, how do you see that? Many people would say, well, Pastor, that's just talking about the trust that the Lord Jesus had in His Heavenly Father. Well, the word faith is used that way many times, maybe most of the times in Scripture. It has to do with exercising trust, confidence, reliance upon the Lord, resting in the Lord, holy and completely having confidence and believing in the Lord. And it is used that way, but here it's used as a noun and not as a verb. In fact, go with me to the book of Jude. And in the book of Jude, we find the word used this way again, just before the revelation. Here in Jude verse 3, the Lord directs Jude to write these words: "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, this is another verse that describes the same thing as James is describing in his epistle. And when he says, "Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons," he's saying, don't hold to the Christian faith. Don't hold to your Christian doctrines. Don't hold to your salvation preferentially or with partiality. And he's warning us that we are to be impartial toward people. Impartial toward people. It happened many years ago. A church, a large church, lots of people attending there, had in their congregation a man who was somewhat handicapped emotionally, and he lived in a nursing home just down the street from the church. Every Sunday morning, he loved to go to that church. And as far as I know, he knew the Lord as his Savior. And he would come to that church, and he sat always in a particular seat. Let's suppose he sat here. This was his place every Sunday. Everyone that was regular in attendance knew that he would always be there, and he would always sit in that seat. And so everyone always left that seat empty for him. But on Easter Sunday, they had visitors, and a visitor sat in that seat and didn't know that this man usually sat there. And so when this man, in simplicity, in simplicity, came in the door of the church and walked down the aisle and saw that someone had sat in his seat, he was unsure what to do. And when he looked, all the other seats were full. There was no place to sit. The building was full. There was no empty seats. And so he walked over in front of one of the rows and he sat down on the carpet below the pulpit. And what would you do? What would you do? Would you laugh? Would you say, "My God, I thought he shouldn't be sitting there"? What would we do? Would we be embarrassed? Brother Jeff probably knows. What would you do? That's what I was going to say you would say. Because there was an old man in the congregation who knew this brother. And he loved him and he cared for him. And when he saw his confusion, he stood up and walked down the aisle. He had a cane. And he walked down the aisle until he got where this man was sitting. And he knelt down on the floor, laid his cane down, and sat with him there on the floor. Well, you know what the pastor said when he stood up to preach? He said, "I think we may have already had our sermon today." I want you to think about that. How do you feel about someone that doesn't quite fit in? How do you feel about someone that's not like us, that doesn't look like us? How do we feel about people like that? Well, the Lord says to us here, He gives us a command. He says to us, "Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Faith is to be impartial. Faith is to treat all men as equals before the Lord. All men equal. All men need to be saved. All Christians need to grow in the Lord. All Christians need encouragement. All Christians need fellowship. And that we are to look at people that way. Now, I'm going to give you lots of illustrations tonight as I speak to you. Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 8, persecuting the church, breathing out threatenings and slaughter, goes to the high priest and gets letters authorizing him to go to Damascus, and he finds any of this way that he should arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem to be tried and to be executed. He tells that he actually caused people to be executed. But what happens? On the road to Damascus, he's converted. And while he's there in Damascus, he fellowships with the brethren there in Damascus. And then there's a gap. Did you know about the gap? 3 years he spent in Arabia. We think it was probably Saudi Arabia, possibly down in the Sinai Peninsula. He spent there, and then he came back to Damascus. And when he was there in Damascus and was preaching Christ in the synagogue there, the Jews were going to kill him. And so the brethren took him and let him down over the wall in a basket. You remember that, reading that? They let him down over the wall in a basket, and he escaped to Jerusalem. So when he came to Jerusalem, here comes Saul of Tarsus walking in the door. What did everyone think? Oh, no. Look who's here. What's he doing here? Is he going to arrest us? Because the last time they saw him, he was dragging Christians off to prison. What is he doing here? But there was someone there that had the faith of the Lord Jesus without respect of persons. You know what his name was? What was his name?
Barnabas.
Barnabas went up to him and said to him, "Greetings. Welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And Saul said, "And blessings to you, brother." And Barnabas took him in. And the apostles were all apprehensive about it. But Barnabas was Paul's best friend. He was a man that showed no partiality, no respect of persons. And so the Lord gives us this command: have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And then you'll see in verses 2 to 4 an example of how a poor man would be treated one way and a rich man treated another way. Another illustration. Can I give you another illustration? Let's read these verses first, so our emphasis is on Scripture. "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel," nice clothes, "and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and said to him, 'Sit thou here in a good place,' and say to the poor, 'Stand thou there,' or 'Sit here under my footstool,' are you not then partial in yourselves, and have become judges of evil thoughts?" Church attenders arrived at church one morning and were shocked to see what appeared to be a homeless man lying on his side by the wall of the church building in the bushes. He had an old tatty coat on, worn trousers with holes and shoes run down at the heels and a hat pulled down, and he looked so hopeless, so homeless. And as they walked by, they all kept their distance from him and went inside the church. And then of all things, just as the service is starting, this man comes in the door. And he sits on a pew. And everybody is saying, "Oh, what's he doing here? What is he doing here?" And then to their surprise, when it came time for the sermon, he pulled off his hat and it was the pastor. And he had done that on purpose to point out what happens among the Lord's people. You see how easy it is for us to fall in a trap like this? And so the Lord is saying here, don't let a person's social status, don't let a person's appearance, don't let a person's smell. Have you ever sat by anyone that really smelled bad? Have you ever? Several of you just moved over. Did I see two people move opposite ways from Silas? I think it was only teasing. Don't let that keep you from talking to these people. Here's another test case. A few weeks ago, I asked some of you to pray for a man here that rang me and asked me to come and see him. And I went to see him. And when I went to see him, I probably have never been in a messier house, a dirtier house. And when I sat down at his table and I reached out my hand to shake hands with this man, he said, "You may not want to shake hands with me." And his hands, his arms were just covered with sores. Terrible looking sores. He didn't have shoes on. His feet and legs were just covered with sores. And I said to him, "No, I want to shake your hand." And I shook his hand and treated him as an equal. Was that right or wrong? Was it right or wrong to do that? Well, I think back to the Lord Jesus when a leper came to him and said to him, "Master, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." It all depended on the good will of God. Oh, the will of God is good. And the Scripture says the Lord Jesus reached forth His hand and touched him and said, "I will. Be thou clean." Oh, wow. That was not done among the Jews, to touch a leper. And I want to suggest to you that the purity of the Lord Jesus, the holiness, the power of the Lord Jesus was such that I expect by the time His hand touched the leper, the leprosy was gone. That His purity drives away the impurity of sin. And so we see these examples more and more. And here is an example here where the Lord says about the poor man that we are not to treat that person as someone that is lower than ourselves. Sometimes it's not a person's social strata. Sometimes it's a race. Sometimes it's because they have a different skin color from us. Or it could even be, we've been in places where I felt that there were men who treated women as though they were second class. Now, I really enjoy going to church where I can sit beside my wife. But when we went to Nepal, the ladies all sat on this side on the floor on carpet, and the men all sat on this side on the floor on carpet. At least they didn't have chairs. I would have been really concerned if they'd had chairs. It was a cultural thing for them. But you know, in India and some of the other Asian countries, or maybe they're not precisely Asian countries, the caste system is very strong. And if you are of a particular caste, you're second class. But among Christians, that should not be. That should not be the case. Paul Brenn told the story of a man who had been a leper, who had been cured of his leprosy, and because he had been a leper, he had been considered to be of a lower class, of a lower caste, and he was not someone, they call them the untouchables, and people were just not to have anything to do with him, and this man was converted. He came to know the Lord. And he said to Brother Brand, do you think the folks in the church, do you think the Christians in the church would let me come and take communion with them? Brother Brand went to the elders and he asked them and he told them, this man is cured of his leprosy. The leprosy is gone. It's dead. Is there no leprosy left? And he is our brother in Christ. And the elders said, yes, tell him he is welcome. And he said, this man came with fear and trembling with Paul Brand to the door of the church and looked inside, and he was afraid to come in. But he said, as he looked inside, one of the men standing near the back where Paul is with his hymnal saw him and invited him in and said, come share my hymnal with me. And that man, that leper, I think his name was John, that man said that it was the most moving, most touching thing that ever happened to him, that he was welcome. And you know, it worked such a transformation in him. Brother Brand said, I believe I'm telling you precisely accurately, he said that several years later, he went to a factory where they were building typewriters. And he said, the man who managed the factory said to him, come here, I want you to meet someone. And he took him inside and he said, this is our most valuable employee. His name is John. And it was that very man. And when Brother John saw Paul Brand, he reached and scooped up a handful of little tiny screws that are used in typewriters that he was making with his own hands and took them and showed them to Brother Brand. Do you know where it started? It started when the brethren welcomed him into the church. When they welcomed him in, that's when it started. That's when his life started changing. Oh, dear friends, I can't emphasize to you too much the importance of the equality of believers in the Lord. It's not race. It's not age. The Lord Jesus took up little children in His arms and blessed them. But the disciples were saying, no, He doesn't have time for this. He's too busy for this. And the Lord Jesus rebuked them and He took up little children in His arms and blessed them. You see, when we think about our equality in Christ, there really isn't any class of people that's not equal before the Lord as sinners, and in salvation, equal before the Lord in salvation. And don't you get a blessing out of that? How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you ever felt that you were discriminated against and for one reason or another, you were not equal to everybody else? Did you ever feel that way? And I want to tell you, when I came to know the Lord Jesus, I found equality in Christ. That all of us, every one of us, equal standing before the Lord. Then look with me, please, in verses 8 to 12. In verses 8 to 12, there is a royal law at work here. What is the law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A love for our neighbor. God's Word tells us that this love we read in Scripture is a love that is ever looking for what we can do for this person. What can I do for this person? You know, if I have partiality, if I have respect of persons, I may say, I'm very favorably inclined to this lovely lady here, and I will look for opportunity to do things for her. But this lady over here, you know, she's not in the picture, and I'm not going to be kind to her. I'm not going to do anything for her. Now, Hannah knows better than that. Well, I'm not going to be nice. I won't speak to her. She's not equal. She's equal, but she's not equal. That's partiality. That's respect of persons. But, you know, love for our neighbor means that this is Terry and Tricia's daughter. And she does not belong to me like this lady over here does. But I should treat her with respect. I should treat her with courtesy and kindness. And if I have opportunity to do any service for her, something that will be a help to her, then I need to do that. Many years ago, we had a lady in church with two daughters. And one of the daughters, the older daughter, said to me, "Would you write me a reference for a job at the bank?" I said, "Sure, I'll write you a reference. I've known her for years." So I wrote two. I wrote a really nice reference, and then I wrote a really bodgy reference. And I said, "I wouldn't have this girl work for me. She pranked my car. She kicked my dog. You know, she put salt in the sugar bowl." And it was just a tease thing to tease her. What did she do when she went in to apply for the job? She left both letters in the envelope and handed them over the counter. And then she said, Oh, wait a minute. And she put that one back. And the fellow said, "What's that all about?" She said, "I'll tell you later." Well, I think she did. "Well, that'll teach me to do things like that, won't it?" And she told me. But preference and partiality should not be among the Lord's people. Every person needs to be treated graciously and kindly. And this is what the chapter is all about. It's the royal law, loving our neighbor. How can I serve this person? What can I do for this person? Now, this is the great truth of equality that ought to be in existence among the members and the attenders at Grace Baptist Church. Every church ought to have that attitude. I want you to notice two passages of Scripture with me. And then we're going to pray and we'll have the Lord's table together. Go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 down to verse 28. Galatians 3, verse 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Isn't that a glorious verse? It doesn't have to do with whether we're Jews or Gentiles. Isn't it a blessing? You have to go to church with people and not worry about what was their racial origin. "Are you a Jew? Well, if you are, I can fellowship with you. If you're not, I can't." No, it's not that way at all. Neither Jew nor Greek. And then it says, what does it say there? "Neither bond nor free." Are you a slave, Kathy? Are you in slavery? Does somebody own you? Well, if they do, I can't have anything to do with you. What about over here? Haley, are you a slave? No? Okay, well, that's good. I can talk to you then. It's not that way, is it? Neither bond nor free. There's equality here. We're talking about equality. We're equal one with another. There is neither male nor female. Oh, gender comes into it then. I'm not allowed to speak to ladies. I can only speak to men. That would be rather strange, wouldn't it? And it tells us so clearly in Scripture that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Look with me at one other text, and it's in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 16 and 17, there are many verses that speak along these lines, and we're only looking at a few of them tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this is a passage that speaks about the Lord's Supper. We'll go in a moment to chapter 11. But in chapter 10, verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the fellowship, the sharing? Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ, the fellowship, the sharing, partaking? of the body of Christ. For we, being many, are what? One bread. We, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Sometimes I wish we could change the way we do the Lord's Supper. Maybe I'll be brave enough someday to do this. But in brethren assemblies, they have one cup. You know that. And some of you have been there. And when we were in Hong Kong, we went to a brethren assembly and we had communion with them. And they passed the cup and a cloth serviette tissue. And they drink out of the cup, or they wipe the brim of the cup, and they drink out of the cup, and they pass it to the next person. All right? Now, some of you might say, yuck, yuck, yuck. Well, they were saved germs. Okay? So I was encouraged. They were saved germs. And we partook. And one of the things I really liked was one cup, one piece of bread, and they would wipe, and they would take a piece of bread and they would eat a piece of the bread out of the bread that was handed, and then they would take the cup and they would hand it on. Paul Brand said in India that they went further than that. They would stand in a circle in the church. And he said they would hand it one to another. And when it came to this former leper who had been converted and they welcomed into the church, they said to him, Brother John, this is the body of Christ. We understand that to be a symbol. It's not literally the physical flesh, blood, and bone of the Lord Jesus. This is the body of Christ. And Brother John would take a piece of the bread and he would hand it to the next brother, Brother Kev. This is the body of Christ. And that sharing as equals, just totally as equals, passing it one to the other. And then when it came to the cup, it was handed to him, Brother John, this is the blood of Christ. It symbolizes the blood of Christ. The grapes bruised and crushed. The blood of the grape, just as the Lord Jesus was crushed upon the cross for us, for our sins, and His blood poured out. And when Brother John would pass it on, he would say, Brother Kev, this is the blood of Christ. And there was that equal sharing. Now, we come as close to that as we can in sharing. And we expect that as our men hand out the elements tonight in the Lord's table, that they are not superior to the people who are sitting there in the pew. Not in the least. Pastor is not superior. I'm not here in the place of the Lord Jesus. I'm not the vicar of Christ. I'm your equal. And you are my equal. And this is something that we need to maintain, we need to emphasize, is that we come as equals in Christ. If you're saved, the priesthood of the believer, being equal members in the body of Christ, that we are one bread, that we are one cup, that we are in fellowship together. And that is important for us to memorize. And when that happens, the most amazing things occur. Is a lot of the natural divisions that build up in churches begin to disappear. I understand, you know, the young fellows stand around and talk about four-wheel drives and four-wheelers and guns and knives and things. I understand that. But they need to be on the lookout for somebody else that needs to be included in that group and not close them out. Possibly one of the best illustrations I ever saw was a great big block of ice. Great big block of ice. With all the youth group inside the block of ice, and one young person frozen out. Oh, that's frightening, isn't it? We shouldn't be that way at all. We want to consider one another. If you know the Lord Jesus, you are my equal in Christ, and I am yours.